This morning we'd like to read together from James chapter 3. If you have those little workbooks, does anyone did not get a little workbook? I tried to select different things that I've heard over the years here at Pilgrim Camp and in our fellowship churches, things that maybe have been emphasized. And this morning you might say, well, this thing about my tongue, that's not really that important. That's not very spiritual, is it? Taming the tongue. But I had to think, how many times have we said, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I could take those words back. I wish I hadn't spoken in that way. If you truly read your Bible through, you find that there's much to be said about the things we say. The tongue. The Bible says the power of life and death are in the tongue. And so I think it's something very important for us to take from God's Word, this instruction. Uncle Hans, that would be the founder of our camp and the founder of our fellowship, made the statement that every time I preach on the tongue, people are convicted. Every time I speak about it, people are convicted. And I think that's probably true. Every time we hear a talk or an exhortation about the things we say, we can take it to heart and probably say, yes, Lord, I haven't done as well as I should have or could have. And so in this book of James is a very practical man, isn't he? And he kind of emphasizes the fact it's more than what you say, it's what you do. I mean, in the sense of a spiritual thing. Now, I twisted that metaphor a little bit because it's about what you say, but in the sense that we can't just say that we're religious if we don't live it. And so he addresses this matter of the tongue. And my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now he gives us these illustrations about the horse and about the ship to indicate that something very small can have great effect and great influence. You know, I don't know how many of you like to canoe. Anybody been out in the canoe? Jason and different ones. Now, how do you turn the canoe? You know how to do it? You put the paddle in the back and you just have to turn a little bit. And that big long canoe will turn. Just with that little, you're making a makeshift rudder, so to speak. But think of the big ships on the ocean. They have the same, they operate in the same way. That just a little turn of the rudder will influence the course of that ship. If you want to turn a horse, I'm not a horseman or a rider. Maybe when I was smaller, I could have been a jockey. Caitlin, there's hope for you to be a jockey. That horse and ride, right? But that little bridle, that little bit in the horse's mouth, you just have to pull a little bit and that horse is turned. And so, again, the point is influence. Get that word into your heart. Words have influence. You can write that down. Words have influence. The things I say influence others and they influence me. Did you know that? The things you say influence you. The things you say influence others. Your words have influence. So the tongue is a little member. I don't know, and I don't want you to do this, but don't stick out your tongue. But I have an impediment. That's why I don't talk clearly. My tongue is tied. And so if I want to stick out my tongue, it only comes out maybe that much. And I really can't do a good job. But the point is, you know, these little members in our mouths, right? I mean, that's really the point. It's not so much the little tongue, but it's the words that we say. The things that we use these tongues for, to speak. They're little members, and yet they boast great things. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then he goes on to talk about that fire. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. That's a strong verse. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Is that possible? How many families have been split? How many relationships broken because people have allowed their words to be used to hurt someone else and to put someone else down and to bring discouragement? We use our tongues also to maybe spread rumors or lies or gossip, and how that just multiplies, just like a little fire. Little fire, you know, often these great, well, that's the way it is. Often these great forest fires we hear of in the West, how are they started? Does someone go out there and dump gasoline over everything and light? No, sometimes it's just a little spark that causes that great fire to catch. And sometimes it's just a little word, a careless word, a mean-spirited word that will cause great trouble. Division, dissension in homes, in our relationships. And sometimes it's the people that are closest to us that we hurt the most with our tongues. You know, it's easy for us to put people down, isn't it? It's easy for us to speak about people, maybe when they're not present, or even to their face, in a way that puts them down and makes them feel worthless. I thank God for my parents. Mom was pretty blunt. And sometimes, I don't know how she would have done or did in these, you know, politically correct days. She didn't believe in political correctness. She told you the way it was. But I don't think she ever spoke that way to hurt or to drag down. It was always done to correct and to help and to build up. And not everyone took it that way. But I knew my mom's heart was to get to the root of the problem. And so that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we say things about people with the intent of maybe building ourselves up. We put others down so that we can build ourselves up. And so God has to help us with our tongues. Because it goes on to say, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue can no man tame. So if no one can tame the tongue, how is it that this tongue can be controlled? How is it? Yes, only by God. He goes on. Let's just read this out. Now, he says, therefore, or therewith, we bless God. So have we done that this morning? Have we blessed God this morning with our tongues? I trust you have. I will praise Him. And we sing His praises. We sing these songs. We lift our voices in praise to the Lord. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God, made in God's likeness. Is that possible? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So do you get the picture? God doesn't want us to bless Him with these tongues and then leave this place and find our neighbor or our husband or our wife or our daughter or our child or our friend and say something that drags them down. And I'm certainly not suggesting that. I did want to say one thing, complete aside now, breaking the talk here. And I was so pleased yesterday, and not that I need to be pleased, but it just blessed me when I saw how all of the staff worked together and showed God's love to the people that came onto the grounds yesterday. Whether it was new guests, whether it was the campers, everyone just seemed to work together, and everyone seemed to just show the love of God to people, and that really blessed me, and I wanted to thank you for that. And I know that God notices, God sees, and God is pleased. And God blesses and allows His blessing to rest upon this place because His love is shown through you. And so just keep that in mind. Thank you. Thank you for working together. Thank you for making everyone who came here know that God loves them because you were kind to them. And you showed God's love. All right, back to James. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Maybe you've had this experience. Sunday morning. We go to church Sunday morning, right? Seems Sunday morning sometimes can be the most hectic morning. And we run. Oh, Pastor, you've had it happen? Really? Sunday morning, and you're trying to get to church, and trying to get everybody in the car, and we're late. Come on, honey, come on, let's go. I'm down in the car. And then somebody comes in, says something in the car, and we all get a little riled up. Are you laughing? That's not what I'm talking about, Alpha. And here we exchange words that maybe just aren't, you know, so nice. And then we get to church and praise the Lord. How's everyone this morning? It's so good to see you, right? And God has to help us. God wants us to be different, to change us. See, because God sees our hearts, He knows all about it. The verse in Luke says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Can you say that with me? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. So that what that says to me is whatever's in your heart comes out in the things you say. You can suppress it sometimes, right? You can keep it down sometimes. But there are situations that come where all of a sudden it just, what? It erupts. And what's in the heart comes out. So who can control the tongue? So that's really the question this morning. Who can control our tongue? If no one can tame it, who controls it? How is it controlled? I remember maybe a boy of 12 years old. I had an older brother. Any of you have an older brother? Or a younger brother? Older brothers? Do you know that older brothers sometimes like to tease you? Yeah? You know, we lived in a two-family house. And we lived upstairs and my grandparents lived downstairs. So whenever David would bother me and get me upset, when I would cry, and I would go and I would sit down in front of Grandma's door. And eventually Grandma would open the door. I don't know how she knew I was there. And say, "What's the matter, Philip?" And I, "Oh, David's teasing me again." "Oh, Philip, come in. I'll give you some ice cream." It worked every time. It was great. And so I remember coming home from church one night. I think it was a Thursday night Bible study. And we had just come home from church. And in the car, or getting into the car, David said something, did something. I don't even remember anymore what it was. But I said something to him. I don't know whether it was, "I wish you weren't my brother. I wish," you know, we've said that, right? I wish something. Something mean. Because I wanted to get back at him for what he had said to me. And you know, the Lord convicted me. Again, I wasn't maybe 12, 13 years old, if that. And he made me know that that response, even though he was teasing me, it wasn't right. It wasn't right. And I went home that night, and I had a little devotional book. And I don't believe it's in print anymore, but it was called Mountain Trailways for Youth. Mountain Trailways for Youth. And I opened that before I went to bed that night, and the verse that's printed in your books was at the bottom, or at the bottom of the page, was in that devotional. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Who can control the tongue? No one can control the tongue. And so what do I have to do? I have to go to God, and I have to say, "God, you have to control my tongue. You have to control my tongue. Set a watch. Put a soldier there. Put a soldier at the door. Don't let me say the things that maybe would want to come out of this mouth of mine. You guard the door of my lips." You know, when Dad spoke about that verse, "The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace." Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to hold your peace? To keep still? Someone else? Don't say anything. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do. When someone does something to us and we feel we need to stand up for my rights, right? I need to take... And so what do? We respond in kind. We respond in the same way. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't do that. I'll fight for you. You hold your peace. Again, it's something that the Holy Spirit must do. Our Brother Tom said that when I asked, who can control the tongue? He said, the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that when God fills someone with the Holy Spirit, often there's that control of the tongue. That member that no man can control, the Holy Spirit comes and takes control. I say these things this morning, again, to encourage us. We need to be honest, first of all, with ourselves. Are there words that I say, careless words that I say? Are there people that maybe I need to go to and say, I was wrong, forgive me? You know, someone has said that there's three things that you need to learn in life. I mean, three phrases that you really need to master. One is, thank you, right? You've heard this. Thank you. Oh, please is the other one. That's four. Please and thank you. What's the other one? I was. Can you say that, Jacob? Really? We find that so hard sometimes to say, I was wrong. And then the last one is what? I'm sorry. Thank you. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Those are the words then that allow there to be healing, restoration. I don't want to dwell or close necessarily on the negative. What can we do with our words? Here at camp, what can we do? We're together now these few days. What can we do with our words? Encourage. Encourage. You guys are doing a great job in the kitchen. You really are. Thank you. What else can we say with our words? We can praise. We can say praise the Lord. We can say hallelujah. We can use these mouths to bless God, as it says. Can we pray with our mouths? Should we pray out loud? Yes. And we can talk to one another about the things of God. It's wonderful to talk about, I don't discourage you from talking with another about whatever you'd like to, but isn't it wonderful when we can talk about the things of God and we can share the word of God with one another and we can lift one another up?
I was thinking of Malachi where it says the Lord hears us talking to one another.
Yes. When we talk about him, he listens and he's pleased. And so let's encourage one another. Let's use these tongues that God has given to bless and not to curse, to lift up and not to drag down. And Lord, remove gossip from our lips. Just one more thought that comes to mind. I think that texting falls under this category. What do you think? And emailing, right? I think that these thumbs, right? That's how you do it, Kate? My kids make fun of me because I text whole words. I write good morning. And I write love dad. And they go, but dad, we know it's from you. Because it comes up that it's from dad. So why do you have to put love dad? But the things that we text, is that our words? Yes? The things that we, is that our words? You know, I was here at camp, I was checking my email from work, and I got an email the other day, and it was an email that from a coworker. And it was one of those, like, the ones that I wanted to respond and just... Okay, I'll say it real quiet. Like, just shut up. And I was tempted, you know. And then, you know what I said? It's not really worth it. So I wrote a nice email back. Right? Proverbs 15:1. What does it say? A soft answer turns away wrath. He was like picking for a fight. Not really, but he was just getting in my face a little bit. And I said, you know what? I wrote back, hi. How you doing? And explained to him. It was just a little misunderstanding. And so instead of making it a big misunderstanding and making a big case out of it, and you know, he was like telling me, well, you can't tell me what to do, kind of thing. And I was like, well, you know, I'm saying, well, yeah, I can, but I just did it nicely, you know. I said, this is the way it happened, and then sure enough, later on in the day, hi Phil, you know. Went and talked to him. Everything's good, you know. Thank you for clarifying it. And everything was fine. And so I think the way we communicate, whether it's in words, whether it's spoken words or texted words or emailed words, let's be careful. And there's a prayer that I'd like us just to pray together in closing. It's in Psalm 19, and maybe you know it already by heart. Psalm 19:14. I know we all may have different translations, but my Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation, again, because if the things I'm meditating on in my heart, where are they going to come out? They're going to come out eventually in my words. Let the words of my mouth, the things I think, even the thoughts I think, Lord, I want them to be acceptable. I want them to be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. And beloved, I believe if we would be careful in this way, in these days, if we would be careful in the way we spoke to one another, and if we would truly say, Lord, you set a watch before my mouth, you guard the door of my lips, I believe that we would be more conscious of the Lord's presence with us. You know, one of the things, again, that I've heard in this place is that sometimes just our talking, just our careless talking, drives away the conscious, the sensible presence of God in our lives. And so if we would just learn to be still more, I don't have to talk so much. I can be quiet. And I can be in tune with what the Lord is saying to me. But let's let the Lord use us to bless one another with our words. Let's be an encouragement one to another. Let's ask the Lord to help us to edify, to build up, to show his love in our words. Let's bow our heads. Now, it's good for you to talk to God. And if there's someone that maybe you do need to go to and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, or maybe God impresses you to go to someone and give them a verse, well, let's be obedient to the Lord. Someone lead us in prayer, please.
Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our weakness.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God. That's our prayer, dear Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We thank you that you're able to do that, Lord. And from our heart we say, we pray that, Lord. And we know you're going to help us.
Yes, Lord.
Because we're building our life to you.
Yes, Lord.
For you to take control. For you to have your life.
Yes.
Have your way in this vulnerable member, oh God, of ours. Take charge, oh God. And help us to glorify you in all we think, do, and say.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, again, we remember the counselors. We pray that you would put your words in their mouths. Lord, that you would put a saving word, a word that would bring salvation to the camper, to the one that's seeking for you, looking for you, maybe not even realizing their need. But Lord, put a saving word in the mouths of the counselors. So we commit ourselves to you for this day, Lord. Be glorified in this place, and may it truly be a day of your victory. Today, Lord, show us your glory. And help us to walk with you, to walk carefully with our God. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now this morning we set aside time for prayer. And so if you'd like to join us, we gather at 11 from 11 to 12 in this prayer room to my left. And you can come as you're able. If you can't stay for the whole hour or hour and 15 minutes, you can slip out, slip in. But we just want to pray for the needs of the camp, and if you have needs or requests, you can bring them, and we'll pray together. And then I understand that some maybe were taking a hike. Are you still planning that?
Weather permitting, I guess we could.
Weather permitting. Depending on the weather. Okay, so we have two hike guides right here, so you can see them and see what the plans are. If you're interested in getting out a little bit into the wilderness. But God bless you and be with you this day. So we'll meet in the prayer room if you'd like to stay.